B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 4 o'clock hour. 4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop. Jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. Well, if you, the only way you've missed the controversy of the Eagles draft is that you've been buried under a rock for the last several days. So we're still talking about it here on a Thursday, many days after the Eagles made the pick of Jalen Hurts in the second round. And to try to explain it is a man who's very well-respected, nationally recognized sports executive, and he is now bringing his perspective to academia. He is a professor and executive director of the Morad Center for the Study of Sports Law at Villanova Law School. He is, of course, Andrew Rain. Hello, Andrew.
Hey there, my friend. You know, it's interesting. We're going to be talking about another backup quarterback / starting quarterback situation because they've been running me wild and wearing me out in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, okay, so you are in the front office with the Packers, the infamous time that they take Aaron Rodgers, while Brett Favre is the starter. Now, take me through that process as the man who was on the scene for it.
It was eerie the other night, on Thursday night, because it was 15 years to the day where we did that. Two things happened that night. Number one, all the players we wanted with first-round grades, except one, were gone. You know, we wanted DeMarcus Ware, gone, Cowboys. We wanted Marcus Spears, gone, Cowboys. We wanted this linebacker, Derek Johnson, bad, gone, Chiefs. So the second thing that's happening is nobody's taking Rodgers. Nobody. So here we are. We've got the most durable quarterback in the history of the sport. Never missed a snap, ever. And he's playing at a high level at age 35. And we got the coaches going crazy. We can't do this. We can't take a player that won't help us now, maybe not next year, maybe never. And then I look over at Ted Thompson. He says, Andrew, what do we always say? Trust the board. And the board is telling us, you take this player. Rather than dip into our second-round grades and take a corner or a defensive lineman that you know, is a second-round grade. So a lot of combustion, waiting 12 minutes on the clock, made Aaron sit there the whole time, see if anybody called. Nobody called. And we took him. And I immediately got a call from Brett, Brett's agent. Brett called the coach. Lambeau Field party below us booed like crazy. Aaron was put on a good face, but, you know, he probably wasn't thrilled to come to Wisconsin and not play. And then, just to wrap this up, Mike, 3 years. 3 years I dealt with this. 3 years where Brett's calling, his camp is calling every week saying, Andrew, no one's like to come in and sit next to your replacement every day. It's no fun. And then Aaron's camp is calling every week and saying, is he ever going to play? I mean, is he ever going to play?
So you have a major problem, okay? And this is where I'm going with this conversation. Now, first of all, it turns out to be the right move, right, for the Packers. But it turns out to be the right move a lot because the guy, your starter, is 35 years old. So it might be a little easier to trust the board to take a quarterback there. But you pointed out specifically the problems that it could cause when you're trying to smoothly run a team at the most important position in sports. So where do the Eagles find themselves? In that same spot that you just described?
It's obviously different for the reason you pointed out, and the Packers situation going on now is obviously different because Aaron is 35 or 36, even though he's playing at a Hall of Fame level. This is different because of two things. Number one, the age. And number two, I'm talking about Wentz, of course. And number two, the extraordinary resources put into this player. I mean, what they gave up in terms of draft resources that really hamstrung their draft for 2 years in terms of volume. They just got back to regular volume this year. And then, of course, the financial resources. So let's just make it clear in case anyone's wondering. Carson Wentz is not going anywhere, and then Aaron Rodgers is not going anywhere in Green Bay for at least a couple of years. But now you put this element into it where what's he in it? What are they going to do with him?
Well,
what are they going to do with him? Because the him in Green Bay, it's a first-round pick. You know he's going to play at some point. And I think you apply that to a second-round pick, too. They're going to play. And I'm sure you're talking about this. And it's not, you don't draft a player second-round to be a gadget guy. You really don't. I mean, Taysom Hill was a gadget guy coming out of undrafted, cut by the Packers. You don't draft that high for a gadget guy. He's a quarterback. So I agree with you. This sets up a tough situation, which they have to manage. Forget about media and fans. They've got to manage it internally.
All right. Now, forget about the calls coming in from Jalen Hurts' agent or Carson Wentz's agent. Now you've got this fan base engaged. Now, in Green Bay, Favre was a hero. So he still had that kind of support. Here, I've noticed some fissures that the support for Wentz, because of all the injuries, has waned a little bit. So now, do you create a situation where he's looking over his shoulder, the starter, and if he goes 3-and-out a series, do the fans turn on him because there's that lure of this Jalen Hurts guy?
You know, there's something about this that has me wondering, and I have no inside knowledge about this. Haven't talked to Howie, Doug, anybody about this, that they really, as much as he's been through, I think they still want to toughen this guy up. Like, thick skin him up. Because I don't know what's going on in there, but it almost feels like, hey, it wasn't enough that we had Foles over your shoulder for 2 years. We want to bring a young guy over your shoulder. See how you handle that. So, and I don't know if they've seen things where they feel like we need to toughen him up on the thick skin part of it. But he's clearly a talent. He's clearly a great player when he's right. I mean, I great's an overused term, but I see him as a top young talent in the league. There's no question about that. But I wonder. You know, Mike, when I talked to you a couple of years ago, those 2 years, I'm like, you know what? They're kind of cheating on Carson Wentz here, like an affair. with Foles, you know, they're kind of cheating on him.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be doing this. And Foles has got to go. I mean, as much as we love Foles, he's got to go. But now this guy's not going.
No, they created the same situation. So, like, when you're talking about the toughening up part, is it okay to do that, or is that more destructive to do that?
Well, this is me speculating that they have surmised that to make him a truly great player, he needs this. You know, he's going to get all the coaching. He's going to get all the love because of the resources spent on him. But they think he needs this. This is my feeling, that they need a toughness about him that maybe they haven't seen, and this is one way to toughen him up. But you still have the problem of, what do you do with this second rounder? You know, because at some point he's going to...
Yeah, I don't know if the toughening up part is worth it. I think that it could be worse if you try to do some of that, because you're inciting an entire fan base against a guy if he doesn't play well right from the jump. Now, so let me phrase this another way. We're talking about Andrew Brand, of course, who was in the Green Bay Packers front office when he picked Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. In that corner, different circumstances, but so they either picked this guy number one because they were romanced by the name and he may have been the highest player on their board at that point, just like Aaron Rodgers was for you guys. The second option is this was a strategic move because they have decided, even after all they've invested in making Carson Wentz the franchise quarterback, that they need more and that this guy Hurts represents more. So we would rather go forward with this guy. Which is closer to the truth?
I mean, I think there's an easy, rational explanation for this that, again, doesn't make Wentz look like the superstar that everyone thinks he is, which is this idea that the second quarterback is one of the most important positions on the team. I don't know if I believe that. You know, I hear that thrown around. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
You know, that's just... I guess you can rationalize that if you say, okay, he hasn't finished these seasons. He's played most of these seasons, but he hasn't finished. No, this is not a guy that's missing full seasons. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's great. And I think maybe there's some simplicity to this that they said, wow, you know, we didn't expect Hurts here in the second. But to me, you know, you've got to answer a couple questions here, just like in Green Bay.
Yeah. So
he's got to play. So when is he going to play?
So if this is a situation, you're presented with this, you're in front office, you're on the clock, would you have done this?
You know, I don't want to do a cop-out answer, but I got to know, what's the plan? You know, in Green Bay, they must have a plan. You know, it's like 2022, we're turning it over.
The only plan could be, Andrew, is that they want the guy to take over.
But when?
Well, I don't know, but you know, it's like clear to me, you're right, you don't, like, look at the good teams in the NFL that have the star quarterbacks. They're not investing in a backup for those guys. They have their starter, and then they have a veteran who could play a couple games. Who invests in, like, the Chiefs didn't invest in a second-round pick to have to develop a backup for Mahomes, did they?
I mean, what you have now is not only $128 million, you have whatever it costs to get there. What was it, two ones and two twos?
Yes.
And now you add a two.
Yes.
So basically, you've invested all of this into Carson Wentz, basically, because Carson Wentz is not going anywhere. And I just don't see Carson Wentz going anywhere, what is he, 25 now, at age 27, away from the Eagles. I don't understand. This is not even Aaron Rodgers, where he's 35.
Yeah, well, I think here's sort of the parallel. You know, Cobb was the successor to McNabb. They brought Vic in.
Yeah.
As the guy, Cobb gets hurt, Vic plays well. At that point, they can't turn away from Vic. They move Cobb. That's what I think they're thinking here. That's the most organic way they can make the transition to Jalen Hurts.
I mean, listen, I was consulting back then, and we put a lot of money into Cobb as a you know, potential starter, and then Vic came on. But again, Donovan was older.
Yeah.
The age thing is... I mean, you look at it from a financial point of view and how he's got that background, there may be no player in the NFL with as much cap, cash, and draft resources into him as Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
See, that's what gets
me. And they just said, never mind. That's what they've said.
Well...
And we'll see if they're right. I don't know. I mean, they did it. It's like, we could look at it and go, I'm giving the benefit of the doubt and saying it was strategic. I can't imagine they would just overreact and get gooey over the romance of the guy's name. And right. The only strategic part of it could be, he's our guy other than this guy number 11.
At some point.
Yeah.
But 11's 25.
I think they've decided. They've already made the decision. I think that they're better off with Jalen Hurts than Wentz, and it's just a matter of how this plays out.
And that's an extraordinary statement. And again, I'm not totally disagreeing with you.
Yeah,
it's an extraordinary statement.
It really is.
Because if Wentz was still on his rookie contract, okay, great, I get it.
Yeah,
but they've thrown the world at him.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying, oh, yeah, by the way, we're also throwing this guy in the mix.
Yeah. Let me ask you one more question here, because this is a hypothetical barroom conversation question. I was really high on CeeDee Lamb. And it looked like they could have got up to 16 had they given their second-round pick. So what's the better deal, drafting Rager and Hurts or CeeDee Lamb?
Well, you're not in their scouting room.
Yeah.
I just think they thought this group was pretty equal.
Okay.
And that's, you know, that's Judy, Lamb, Ruggs, and and Rieger, and maybe Jefferson. But the Eagles have done this. They did this with Macklin years ago. If they see a guy, they would go get him. I mean, that's their history.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you this. Talking to a couple of scouting types, they did really like Rieger. They thought Minnesota would go Rieger instead of Jefferson. They thought that, if available. So there was some good feeling out there about Rieger.
All right. Andrew, always a pleasure. Good stuff. And we'll see how this plays out. But I tell you what, it gave us some conversation.
There will be lawyers, Mike.
All right, Andrew, take care. There is Andrew Brandon, the Comcast Business Hotline. He didn't want to commit, but when I asked him, would he have done that? I think he wanted to say no.
Yeah.
There was a big pause there. You know, he's got to deal with these folks, so he doesn't want to come out and bury him.
Right, and he's done. He may be called upon to consult again because he's such a good lawyer. He's done the cap. He's done a lot of things.
Yes.
And he's local.
Right.
So the thing he said right in the beginning, though, is my nightmare. Because he said, forget about the media.
Toughen
him
up? The toughen him up part?
That part I can find. Uh-huh. Okay, if what I find it hard to believe after the Super Bowl thing, if you need to toughen him up after that, I don't. But I'm talking about this part. He says, every day I'm dealing with Favre's people saying, hey, and then Rodgers. So now let's say Wentz starts off playing well, or Wentz plays all 16, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wentz is going to be like, I just played all 16. You got this guy. We would have won the Super Bowl. Let's say losing the playoffs. You know, we were probably a second-round wide receiver away from winning the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Maybe Wentz won't say it, but his people would. Then if Wentz plays the whole thing, Hurts people are going to be saying, when am I going to play?
Yeah.
This guy played every guy. I played 12 snaps.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
That's a problem.
That's
a problem within the front office. But the bigger problem to me is the fan base turning against the guy, making it uncomfortable for the starter to play. That did not happen in Green Bay because Favre was still the hero.
And how many times have you mentioned? You mentioned the less training camp, no mini camp, all that kind of stuff. I would imagine it's going to be pretty tough right from the gate to be on the same page with these new receivers. Right. There might be a time where Wentz thinks the guy's running a post, another guy runs a corner, the ball goes where the quarterback thinks he's going to go, the receiver runs a different route. Fans don't care. They see an interception.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, you get what I'm saying? They see an interception. They're not going to care there was miscommunication.
Right. It's like, there he is. There he is. Put him in!
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, put him in!
Boo! Where was that pass going? Meanwhile, Wentz may have thrown it where the ball was supposed to
go. He's supposed to get out of pocket scramble. Hurts with a scramble!
Right.
Whoa!
I didn't take that sack. I don't care if nobody was open. You can't do that there. All that's coming.
Let's go to Derek in Belmar. Derek, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Derek.
What's up, Mikey? How's it going?
What's going on, Derek?
Nothing much. No, I agree with kind of everything you said all along with the pick. It just doesn't make any sense. And then listening to Andrew kind of talk about, when you think about all the draft picks and the cap room and everything that went into it, makes it make even less sense, realistically. But at the end of the day, I agree. I think maybe just the front office and the coach don't really have as much trust in the quarterback as we think they do.
I really think that's got to be it. And again, I'm giving them credit for being logical. Like, at least, like, if it's strategic, all right, you made that decision. That's your strategic thing. You invested a lot in this guy, but you have the right to change your mind. That's the only thing that can make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, and it's frustrating, but something you were talking about earlier with Wentz and connecting and maybe with his teammates and even with the fans and everything, I just don't understand, like, why this fan base just doesn't really seem to, like, want to get behind the guy who's the franchise quarterback.
Well, because they don't like a guy gets banged up. They just don't. We want to think our quarterbacks are invincible and indestructible. And when they're not, it's like, well, how come you can't not get injured? You know, even though injuries are part of football. But they look at other quarterbacks that aren't getting injured. They go, why can't our guy be like that? But even Mahomes got injured last year, missed a few games.
Yeah, I mean, it's the NFL. Injuries are part of the game. Guys are always going to get banged up.
You know how we do here, though. When you get injured, you're, like, considered soft.
I had one interesting comparison I kind of wanted to make with the connecting with the fans type thing.
Mm-hmm.
With the fan base in Philly right now, I think if you took a poll and asked them, you know, over, like, the last 20 years, who's your favorite athlete in Philadelphia, a lot of them, probably a majority, would say Chase Utley. And he was the guy who literally just didn't connect at all, but one of the reasons is going to be because of, you know, how he played the game, how hard he played and everything. And, like, with Wentz, I just see, like, he's not a great connector, but he plays football the way I think a Philly guy should play football. He's diving, trying to pick up extra yards, keep plays alive. If he makes a turnover, we see him running guys down, trying to make a tackle. Like, most of the time he's been injured has been because he's trying to keep plays alive and playing so hard, and that's what's led to it. It's not like he's this prima donna guy and, you know.
Yeah, well, the fact that Utley didn't talk benefited him. Carson talks and it makes it worse for him because he doesn't say anything. You know, he doesn't say anything. There's not a personality that pops out of the kid.
Would it be a net positive if, when asked, once things are official, when asked for him to say, you know what, I was uncomfortable with the pick, or I didn't like the pick, would that be, even though that would hurt the locker room and not look as a, because it'd be human, would we like him better?
No.
It wouldn't be a net positive for him.
No, because that would even be more resentful for the fan base.
But, yeah.
But that's like, human. Who the hell are you? You're the one missing games.
But that's a human emotion.
But he's already on thinner ice than, you know.
So he really can't
if
win.
If he was far type personality, it'd be different. He's not a far personality.
Well, they ask him, he says, hey, they thought that was what's best for the team. I'm a team guy. I wanted another guy to help who plays every down.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I don't think, you know what's funny? The more I think about it, I don't think he has it in him.
No, he doesn't have it.
He doesn't.
And if he had it in him, it would be taken the wrong way. Like, who the hell are you to say that? You play four plays in a damn playoff so far. Like, that's what our reaction would be to that.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Ken on a cell. Ken, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome
Ken.
In the ring.
What's up, Ken?
How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I got...
Ken, you still there? We're losing your connection.
I got a bet for you. Oh, no. I had you on speaker. I just took you off.
Oh, okay.
All right, I got a bet. Cigars. That Jalen Hurts will be the starter 2021 season. And I'm saying that because Peterson drafted the player that fits his system. That's what he wants. He's a system-type coach, and that's who he felt at to play in his
You're talking about game one next season he'll be the starter?
Game one
and
next season.
I'll bet as many cigars as you want.
All right, a box. Okay.
All right.
I like Padron. I like a lot of them. I got a Cuban.
Yeah, all right. As long as they're Cuban Montes, we're good.
Number two.
Cuban Montes against the Vox of Patrons. I'm in. Patrons. Yeah.
Much Patron.
Yeah. Whatever you want. Whatever you want, dude, because it's not going to happen.
The 26ers. All right.
Wait, whatever. Yeah, you got it.
All right. And also, two off the list. How do you not add the P-Funk in that list, man?
Which album? Which album are you talking about?
We're talking about
the one album that burst out of more than anything else.
We go with Maggot Brain.
Yeah, but it's not as big as the ones I had. You can't tell that one is as big as the albums that I gave you.
Yeah,
and people that don't know what we're talking about, I'll go over those on the other side because I did two lists in my head based on a connection between Jeff Passan, Axis TV documentary.
And Belly.
I watched that whole movie last night.
You watched the whole thing?
I had seen it before. Like, it did come out. You know what's funny? It was time-stamped on the movie, 1998, and it did come out in 1998.
Yeah, yeah.
They time-stamped it.
Yeah. Method Man, best actor in the movie.
Oh, that's right. Method Man.
He's a great actor.
Best actor in that movie.
Cheese.
Yeah, we didn't know it at the time.
Yes.
But he's going
on. He was good.
He was good in that. Totally believable.
Yeah.
In a character, not just, oh, that's Nas. Oh, that's DMX. Like, Method Man was cheese.
Yeah.
It wasn't Method Man. You know what I mean? Like, he was a character.
You know, I Googled Weebay.
Yeah. Because
I wanted to find out what other stuff he was in. And I stumbled across an interview he was doing with a dude on The Wire.
Yeah.
And he was going on about how what it was like to tape The Wire, and that was like they did it in inner city Baltimore.
Yeah,
so they were doing it and among people, and mm-hmm. and he said like people in project houses would invite them all in and cook for them and stuff. But he said it was like tough, like they were every day. Like there was an interview with Carver came out and said we looked around like every day. We thought it was dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah,
but that it was amazing.
How
they did it in real life in real areas of Baltimore amongst the people.
Yeah, I wonder what would happen if you tried that here. West Philly, North Philly, some of those neighborhoods, how it would go down. I just wonder.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it ended up being pretty drama-free in actuality.
Yeah.
But the fear was there. I wonder if would it be drama-free in some of the tougher parts of Philly. I just wonder.
And they were talking. There was also an interview with Tristan Wilds.
Yeah.
Who was Michael in season four.
He's a singer now.
He is?
Mac Wilds.
But it was funny because when they get the script and somebody got popped, they were all sad about it because they had gotten really close.
And you wouldn't be around anymore.
So in season four, Michael has to take out, you know, he takes out.
Yeah, but people are watching.
Oh, so yeah, I can't tell you.
Like a lot of people are watching
it right
now.
He takes out, they pass each other in the office of the casting director.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm sorry. He said he almost broke down in tears.
Wow.
Yeah. And the other character goes, it's all right, man. I just read the script.
That's crazy. Yeah. But, yeah, I know there's a lot. The only reason I say don't say it is because so many people have tweeted in saying that they're watching it now.
Oh, you're watching it now because I've been talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
How long has that been playing? I didn't get advance room. Sorry, man.
Sorry.
How long has it been? What was that?
It only played for like
20 seconds?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, it's time for an update on our Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Eganoff. Nat.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll has... Why is it taking forever? Today's poll has over 4,400 votes on it. Do you believe in Carson Wentz? 89% say yes, 11% say no.
All right. Now, we just heard Andrew Brandt. He's perplexed as a lot of us are on the Carson Wentz situation. And so what I asked at the start of this show is that are you totally on board with Carson Wentz right now as your starter? Or is your support for him leaking and that's why you embrace the selection of Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
I'd like to know.
Yeah, and what we're... There are people on social media who say he'll always get hurt. I'm surprised more people don't say it when they call. Are they afraid to say it out loud? Because, I mean, that's an opinion that's out there.
Yeah.
It's an opinion that's out there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And like I say, I'm not going to sit here and, like, you know, I put the riot gear on and, like, come towards you defending Carson Wentz. I just want to know what you're feeling, what you're thinking. Because I'm pretty sure that the Eagles took this guy to replace Carson Wentz. Not immediately, but organically. That they see more in this guy in this day and age where they've been convinced that football needs to be played at a different level than Carson plays it with a little more versatility. Whatever it is, I believe that was at the root of them taking this guy now. I've had time to think and study it.
Yeah, you're probably right. Even though neither of the Super Bowl quarterbacks last season would be considered runners.
Right.
But they are the flavor, the MVP
right.
is.
Right, but Lamar Jackson lit the league up so much, and so did Kyler Murray,
yeah,
that they go, woo, shiny new toy.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if I'm the Eagles, I'm always looking at what the winners are doing.
Yeah.
Not that Lamar Jackson wins a Super Bowl, different deal.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw in the playoffs, it wasn't all his fault. It was partially because of his weapons. A lot of drops early in that game, but he was able to be contained in the big moment. First playoff game, he was able to be contained.
Here's where we'll change it. One of those two dudes gets hurt running.
Yeah, now Murray does a better job getting on the ground than Jackson does.
Mm-hmm.
Murray is closer to Russell Wilson in that way. Get out of bounds, get on the ground.
Yeah. Everything, again, it's the eye poke out theory.
Right.
These fun games.
Mm-hmm.
And now here you go. Now the league will go, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, we got to protect the quarterback.
See, Burrow, he's the future. That type of quarterback, Burrow.
Right. All right, couple open lines. This is a good time to get in. 610-632-0975. Let's hear from the Masher in Shenandoah. We haven't heard from Masher in a long time. What's up, Mash Man?
Hey, Mikey, how you doing, buddy?
What's up?
Before we talk about Carson and the situation, how is Natalie? Does she need an organ or some blood or anything like that?
Natalie's absolutely fine. She's tucked like a bug in a rug.
But when she picked that Brian Batalo or whatever his name was, I got a little upset there with that pick.
Well, it was an outside-the-box selection, Brian Botana. Yeah.
But anyway, Mike, I called 3 years ago, and I was saying about Carson Wentz getting hurt, this, that, and the other thing. You called me a Les Miserables. You don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I still don't want to hear it because I don't think he's injury prone. I really don't. He played all 16 games last year, and he got a concussion. That's not injury prone.
I understand that, but don't cut me off. I'm just saying he is injury prone since high school and college. So
it's a coincidence.
It's good. I hope he plays 18 games, Mike. Don't get me wrong. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I love him. I love the guy. Okay. But another thing, too, now, back up home here.
All right, wait a minute. So you love him. Would you have selected Jalen Hurts in the second round then?
Probably not.
Okay. All right.
I was happy with the backup we had.
What?
Yeah, I know
you were
right.
Happy with who? McCown?
No, Sutfield.
What are you happy with? What has he done to make you happy?
Well, he didn't play enough to see what he could do.
Well, why are you happy? You could be ambivalent. Well, why are you happy? There's got to be something you're happy about.
I don't want him in there unless he has to go in, but I think he'd do fine.
Why? What are you seeing him? Come on, I'm asking you for your football expertise up there in Shenandoah. You see a guy like Sudfeld. Why are you happy?
He did fine when he was in there.
All right, come on.
Okay, who do you have better?
Come on, stop. I can throw a dart in the sky and find 10 better backups than Nate Sudfeld. Come on.
Difference of opinion.
Come on, Masher.
Okay, listen, yeah. I have a good for you here now. They're playing all the old basketball things up here in Hazleton in the paper. And your buddy, first baseman, Dave Dolenik, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guess how many points he scored in his career, if you could take a quick guess.
He was a good hooper, Dave? 2,000.
Yeah, you got your close, 2,181.
Wow. How about that? I didn't know Dave was a high school hooper. Dave, he played first base for us. He was a swatter. He raked.
At Penn State?
At Penn State, first baseman. He calls every now and then.
He's up
in that area.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about now.
Yeah, I didn't know he was a hooper, though.
Look at that. Well-rounded.
Yeah. All right, let's go Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys. You know, I was trying to get into the heads of the Eagles brass, and it's a scary place to be, but mm-hmm. Thinking back on last season, I didn't see that many holes in Wentz's game. I mean, I thought he tried to force the ball into tight spaces a little more than he should,
mm-hmm.
and you know, his footwork wasn't great, so sometimes he had a guy wide open and he'd sail the ball, you know, but it wasn't dramatic issues, and I didn't feel like it would be worth moving away from him. You know, I thought, I mean, frankly, the guy hasn't played that much football when you think about it, so I figured he's still growing.
Yeah.
I agree.
I thought that, you know, last year he played all 16 games. He got banged in the head on a cheap shot in the playoffs. And I thought he was durable. I thought he played really well towards the end of the season. And it was just more of a matter of growth. But what does this pick say to you? There are two schools of thought. One is they needed a better backup, and this is what Hurts is, or go further than that, that they drafted him because there's a bigger design here.
Well, I hope it's because they thought they needed a better backup. I still think even with that logic, it's a stupid pick, but I haven't seen enough negative from Wentz.
Well, apparently they have. Because that's the only reason you take a quarterback in the second round is if you're looking, you're taking that guy because you think he could be better than what you have.
But you haven't seen, you know, in your mind, there's not enough negativity in Wentz's game for them to have made the decision.
No, but I don't see him every day like they do. You know, I see games that he plays, and they see practice, and you know, they could be exasperated by his unavailability at times. I don't know what prompted it, but I think something did.
I wonder if the knee is more of an issue than we know about.
I don't know. It's by all accounts, he's 100%. So,
he played
every game last year, and he didn't bother him at all last year.
I thought he played well. It surprised me that they would have gone quarterback.
Three for 4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good year.
I agree. It remains a head scratcher. I don't think anybody can explain it to me in a way that makes any sense.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Greg. The yards per attempt were down. And I think that's a direct correlation to the lack of weapons they had. But they see something they don't like. The only thing I can figure. They see something where they think they're better off with this other dude.
Yep.
610-632-0975. A couple lines are. We head to the 5 o'clock hour. It's always a festive and fun time. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5, the Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Got myself a sandwich during the break from our big spread from Kosh's Bakery. Yeah, Deetson Watson in conjunction with Kosh's Bakery. He dropped off some food today, some nice little pieces of hoagie. Beautiful. Their locations are Kosh's Bakery, South Philly, Williamstown, Blackwood, Cherry Hill, Hampton, Audubon, New Jersey. They've been a family-owned business since 1953. They started by making one simple loaf of bread. And it took off from there. So visit kashabakery.com. That's C-A-C-I-A bakery.com. For store hours, curbside pickup, DoorDash, and Grubhub delivery, along with their full menu of freshly baked breads, fresh sliced Deetson Watson deli meats and cheeses, breakfast, dinner, and desserts. Talk a little baseball here before we get back to the phones. Major League Baseball kind of has this concept of resuming baseball in their home parks. No fans. Mm-hmm. 3 division, 10 teams. Play only within your division, reduce travel, all that kind of thing. The plan has to be approved by medical experts, and the testing has to be available. They said they need, what, like 3,000 tests?
You need to have 3,000 tests available at all times.
At all times.
So you need 3,000 to start, and then you need, all right, we need, boom, boom, because they would all have to be regularly tested, and they would have to put some other safeguards before each of them entered the building.
Yes. Now, baseball is returning in South Korea.
Yeah.
No fans. And also some rules in place. No high fives. And here's the kicker. No spitting.
Yeah.
Now, I was just say this, that American baseball players are pigs. Asian baseball players are a lot more respectful.
Yeah.
So it's easier for, I think, an Asian player, although there are some American players playing in South Korea, not to spit. I don't know if they've been a spitting baseball culture anyway. Spitting is so much a part of Major League Baseball. There is no way that you would be able to put no spitting in the game.
You probably have to find people for it. This is a serious business. You want to get paid? No spitting.
But it's so natural. Like you don't even know you're doing it. So there's going to be violation after violation.
Then if that's the case, a player that can't have to stop, then they should be wearing a mask.
Yeah, I know what you're saying is right. I'm just saying it's logistically impossible to get to implement that after years and years of being used to expectorating for not even knowing you're doing it.
I got
it's
you.
Just a natural stress reducer or whatever it is.
You know what would have to stop? You can't be. There's still some players that chew.
Yeah.
No more. You can't do that anymore.
Umpires, by the way, in South Korea wear masks. The players don't have to.
All right. Well, if you think about it, though, the umpires exposed the longest. Because even when you're staying close, how long's your at bat? The umpire's there the whole game. While you're at bat, your exposure's less.
Yeah. Think about it. You're standing in the field. And it's you know, it's tedious.
I'm sure outfielders.
That's all you do.
Like, outfielders.
It's just the thing to do is to spit.
Yeah. Outfielders probably still will. Infielders, though, if you're at first base.
Fielders do it more than outfielders. Because they have dirt there.
Yeah, it can with the dirt.
It's going to have to be.
No, that's why they do it dirt, because it just rubs out.
You know, I think this is actually going to happen, by the way.
You do?
I honestly do.
What, the baseball or no spitting?
No,
the baseball's going to come back?
I actually do. I think that June 1st, they'll announce the start of the camp, and then they'll start 4th of July weekend. I believe it's going to happen.
Well, listen, whatever. Like I say, I don't get invested in stuff until they're going to happen. Like, I don't look at it like, oh, yeah, I think it's going to storm it. I'm done with that.
Well,
if it doesn't come back, it doesn't come back. If it comes back, I'm not really relishing the fact that they come back with no fans and to change the landscape of this whole thing, where they're going to squeeze in 100 games with different divisions just to get games played, is not baseball to me.
Well, I thought the game, who cares what the defenses are? You're playing nine innings.
Changing the whole landscape. It's just not, baseball as I know it is, like, if the NBA resumes, it'll be basketball as we know it. Baseball resumes, this is not baseball as we know it.
I got right, because if they go straight to the playoffs, it'll be the playoffs just
in the same division, same alignment,
same
style. Like, they're altering the game of baseball just to get games in.
Well, but you can't have West Coast trips because it's not safe to do all that travel.
Well, then don't have it. Cancel baseball.
But it could be safe to go from New York to Philly.
What I'm saying to you is I don't want this form of baseball. I'd rather not have baseball than to have this kind of a form of baseball.
I like
this.
This
is desperate.
Because baseball wants to do alignment. I think they're going to do a lot of tests. After 2021, we're getting realignment anyway. It's happening anyway. Once the new deal is. I wouldn't be shocked if the Mets, Phillies, and Yankees are in the new division in 2021 anyway. So I think they're just trying to just do it early. They're going to realign. It's just a matter of, do they do it now or later?
Bastardization. I don't like it.
So you wouldn't be okay with the realignment later either? Because it's happening.
If they realign the leagues later and it's like a regular season, I don't have any problem with it. This is desperate. You're squeezing in something for the sake of squeezing in something.
Well, money's important.
Got a Tom in the Northeast. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Okay, Mike. I agree with just what you just said. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. However, forget baseball for now. I wanted to answer your question. I am 100% on board with Carson Wentz, 100%.
Okay.
And I don't agree with you when it comes to, I do not believe that the Eagles took Hurts to be the quarterback 1 or 2 years from now. Do not believe that.
Oh, why did they take him?
Now, the other day,
why did they take him?
I called in and I said that they should have taken Hurts maybe in the fourth or third round. And then I gave you my reasons, including that I thought they would both be on the field a number of plays a game. And you killed me.
Why does that help to put two quarterbacks on the field at the same time?
But then let me just finish this. Then Sal Pal comes on and he says the same thing, and he loves them at number two, never mind three or four.
But I don't agree with Sal Pal either. So, like, okay. What's...
Then,
you know?
Then yesterday I read Ford in the Inky.
Yeah, I don't agree with Ford either. I don't agree with him. I think it's silly. All their perspectives and yours is silly.
And how about Joe Banner today?
Joe Banner hates it. Joe Banner hates the selection. He's already revealed himself as hating the selection. He just doesn't want to rip the Eagles.
No, but...
And I answered Joe Banner. I said, come on, Joe. You know you wouldn't have done that.
No, but Mike,
he said he would not have picked it. He said
he does say that they're going to be on the field at the same time, and that it could win them a game.
What? Where? Where do you see that helping in the NFL? You see, here's the thing: you get romance, but there's trickery. You don't win in the NFL with trickery. In college, you pull those kind of plays off. It's no benefit to have two quarterbacks on the field in the NFL.
Mike, I've been listening to you for years.
You have good taste.
Progressive guy. You one of the most progressive.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Two quarterbacks on the field is not progressive. It's stupid. Kyle and Trenton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kyle.
Yeah. How you doing?
What's
Mike?
Up, Kyle?
I definitely don't agree with two quarterbacks on the field at the same time. It makes no sense. But I don't agree with.
Why do people get romance with this idea? You can have two quarterbacks on the field at the same. What are we on the beach? We play football on the beach. Is that what we're doing? Or is this the NFL?
Yeah, it's the NFL. I don't know about that. But I was at that playoff game last year. You know, I was at the playoff game the year before that. And not having Carson Wentz out there is a big thing. So I'm all the way on board with the pick because you never know with him. Now, I just think the Eagles is saying all this stuff just to throw people off because they don't know. He got bad luck. Like every year, Mike, every year. Did you see that 45-year-old man we had out there last year at that game? Like, come on, man.
What about the 45-year-old guy?
He was horrible.
You don't have to have a 45-year-old guy out there. You could have maybe a 28-year-old guy who's played in the league. That would be nice. New Orleans just signed a guy for $1.1 million. Less money than they're paying Hurts, who's actually played in the league.
He throw more in the session than he throw touchdowns.
You mean to tell me you'd be more comfortable with Jalen Hurts going into a game than Jameis Winston to win you a game?
I'm telling you, if I was...
Answer it.
Yes.
But that's foolish. Kyle, how could you possibly say that?
Let me finish. Because Jameis Winston is horrible.
He's an NFL quarterback who had 50 touchdowns.
And 85 interceptions.
All right, so what? But he's still an NFL quarterback. This guy's not an NFL quarterback. How would you choose a non-NFL guy over an NFL guy?
I'm going to tell you right now why. Because they truly believe in Wentz. Like, I truly believe in Wentz. But they just don't know. So they're taking a gamble. Just like gambling.
You're not answering my question. If Carson Wentz goes down, you're telling me you're more comfortable with Jalen Hurts coming into a game more than Jameis Winston or a veteran?
What veteran? More than Jameis Winston? Yes. Yes. I'm telling you that. It's a gamble. It's a gamble, man.
You know what? You make the mistake. Everybody else is making. You got romance by the name. Oh, Jalen Hurts, I've seen him play. You're romance by the name, Kyle.
A little bit.
Of course you are.
I ain't romanced by no Jameis Winston. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he's only an NFL quarterback who's had success in the league. I'd rather have a novice from Oklahoma come in.
They just took an 85-year-old.
Kyle, listen to what you're saying. Seriously. Right, take this argument to the bar. You know how many people will shout you down with that argument?
Take it
tonight. Go into the bar and say, I'd rather have Jalen Hurts coming into a game than an NFL quarterback.
No, you can't say NFL quarterback. We're talking about Jameis Winston.
Any NFL quarterback, Jameis Winston would be a great backup. Better than Hurts. What is wrong with these people? How in the world can you, with a straight face, say you'd rather have a green guy off a college campus who's going to have a lack of a training camp come into a game more than an NFL veteran? Where do you get this?
Just so we know, he had over 5,000 yards last year. He did have the 30 interceptions. He had 33 touchdown passes. That tells me that in a pinch, I would rather have him as my backup.
Of course you would, because he's got more experience.
Played a lot of football.
He's faced NFL defenses. That guy hasn't. Now, I mean, for the long run, you don't want Jameis Winston, but if you're talking about a backup who can win you a game, you'd rather have the veteran player. Unless you're romanced. Oh, Jalen Hurts. I watched him. Watched him on TV on Saturday. I think he's good. 5 o'clock hours ahead. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.